Christmas is coming up fast, but even faster is a deadline to submit your two cents about the future of the Waikiki Natatorium War Memorial. The long-awaited draft environmental impact statement has a deadline of Christmas Eve. The latest twist is that the preferred option is a modified deck design, not tearing down the structure to make way for a memorial beach and rebuilding a new arch inland that has been the mayor's personal preference. The draft EIS puts the modified design as cheaper than just demolishing it, but is it? Opponents question the inclusion of cost to build an ocean safety building as part of the beach option. The city had proposed it once before, but then pulled back after pushback from a park watchdog group and park users. We invited Robert Croning, the city's design and construction director, to stop by yesterday afternoon to talk about the EIS and the modified deck option.
It allows us to maintain pretty much the entire structure that's there now, the natatorium that we know today. The only real difference being the walls that hold up the deck. And that allows the ocean to flow through. And so we have a circulation system that is still ocean, and where we don't have to do all the work to meet pool rules, which are quite stringent. Two sides of the swim area are made of fiber-reinforced polymer. It's like a very hard plastic type material. And it will be bars, not necessarily mesh. Bars so that there's free movement from vertical movement up and down.
So more like a grate.
Right, or a fence sort of construction. And one of the important parts of having a basin that is good to swim in is to make sure that the water within there is not too stagnant. So it'll allow the flow with the currents and the wave action.
The Kaimana Beach Coalition has raised some questions about liability, if whether that system is in use anywhere else, if it's been tested anywhere, and if that would be any type of a liability or concern for swimmers that might get caught in some tricky conditions over there.
I mean, I don't think that this structure exists in this type of a swimming area the way we're looking to design it. But there's certainly testing that goes on, and it will be fully vetted and tested for safety and for all those concerns.
Currently, the natatorium houses, I think, some offices for the ocean safety folks that guard that beach. So what does the EIS include as part of that plan?
Our ocean safety folks, right, have been giving us some guidance and information on what they would require and how they would operate if it were a beach or even if it were a perimeter deck, because they would be responsible for the perimeter deck option. And then the Department of Parks and Recreation, if it becomes a pool, would provide the lifeguards for that. And they're analyzing and determining how they would operate it and so forth. And so the numbers that are in the EIS right now are their initial analysis on the operations and the numbers of lifeguards that they would need throughout the day so that we could get an annual cost for providing those lifeguards.
But I would think you would need more lifeguards than if it's a basin?
If it's a structure, intuitively it seems like that. So you might say that. I think whether it's a beach versus a perimeter deck or a pool, there's probably different operating hours that they would operate. And so some of the difference in numbers may be related to that too. A pool more than likely would be closed a little more often than a beach would be throughout the year and may not be open as long as a beach would need lifeguards to be stationed. So those kind of things are still under analysis by the departments.
From what I understand, that there's a segment in the EIS that calls for a separate, lifeguard building.
For the lifeguards, if we maintain the structure that's there now, whether it's for a pool or for a perimeter deck, we will most likely keep the ocean safety folks in the structure that they're in now. Under the bleachers is basically where they have their offices, and we would upgrade them and renovate them as part of the project. If we turn it into a beach, well, that structure goes away, so we would need to find another space for that operation to work out of.
The administration had plans for a standalone lifeguard building on the other side of the aquarium. Mm-hmm. So is that where this would be sited?
It could be. Again, it's open. We haven't made a final decision on any of that. So that those are things that would have to be finalized as in the construction for that.
Okay. The reason I bring that up is I think the Preservation Society, the watchdog group of the park, had raised some questions about whether that was the best place, taking green space away from park users for a lifeguard building, which if it's an administration building, could be anywhere else.
Right. So the answer hasn't been determined yet. It may not go there. It may go somewhere else.
Yeah. And is the price of building that building included in the EIS?
It is.
Is that?
It's about 1.8 is what we're estimating that.
And are those the same figures that were just lifted from the previous design, or are they new figures?
They're adjusted. We have to take into consideration that the staff that is being, for lack of a better term, evicted from their offices in the Waikiki War Memorial will have to be housed somewhere. And so whether it's actually on that spot or somewhere else, I don't think is that critical right now to the EIS. But the estimate on what it would cost to put them somewhere does need to be included.
Okay, I just raised that because I think, like I said, there was pushback and concern about whether if it was an administration building, if it should be sited there in that park mm-hmm. or somewhere else and then just build a lifeguard stand.
Right, so that will all have to be analyzed. But in the end, it still all has costs. The property that the Waikiki War Memorial sits on, basically the structure, is state land, so DLNR, but there's been an executive order to the city to maintain and take care of it. And so that's why the city is involved in pretty much de facto owners of that property and doing what we need to do with it. The land behind it is city and county land and is even part of, I think counted as part of Kapiolani Park.
In the trust.
In the trust.
And commercialism has been something that has been raised by the Kapiolani Park Preservation Society and the Kaimana Beach Coalition. How do you address that?
We have no plan to commercialize the area at all. So it's not part of what we're proposing as any of the alternatives or any of the actions going forward.
Okay, but I mean, does it allow for any commercialism?
In the future, anybody interested in commercializing the area could attempt it and would have to go through all the different, probably maybe even have to do an EIS again just to do that action and would get the scrutiny of pretty much the same players that are part of the stakeholders of this project. So I'm sure the Kapiolani Park Trust would get involved and all the stakeholders of the area as some kind of an attempt to commercialize the area would be proposed. I just know the Caldwell administration has no interest in commercializing it right now. So Mayor Caldwell is the decision maker. I mean, he's the one that we're doing this analysis for. Yes, initially based on him wanting to do something. So why this all got started again in the first place, because he understood very clearly that it was just unacceptable to leave the natatorium in the condition that it's in. And so at the time when we went forward and we were looking at, okay, so if we're going to do something, what is the proposed action we should propose? And there had been a task force under the Hanneman administration that had kind of reviewed and looked at the situation and came up with the beach alternative as what was the most appropriate. In about 1999, we were inches away from completing a full restoration of the whole natatorium. And what happened was there was a lawsuit that came about, and in the end, the judge decreed that we needed to stop until the Department of Health could develop pool rules, because at the time there were no rules for saltwater pools. It took 2 years for them to do that, and when they did, the rules that they instituted, then made it impossible for the project we were going forward with to be completed because it didn't meet the pool rules. So once that happened, everything pretty much stopped again, and it took until Mayor Caldwell became mayor to say, no, we need to do something. So based on all the information that had happened before, we decided, well, it looks like there's really only two options. We can either build it according to pool rules or demolish it and turn it into a beach. And so the proposed action when we first started this again was turn it into a beach. That's what he thought was the best option, and that's what he wanted to do. So move forward to today. In all that time that's gone past, we've done the environmental impact statement process, which is a lot of analysis and review and consultation. And in that time, what we've discovered is that now we do have the ability to do an alternate, another option, which is now this perimeter deck. And that took quite a few iterations. We had attempted that once. We had consultations with the State Historic Preservation Division, who had said, we want you to try to at least save a little more of the structure. So at first we went through an iteration, and they were basically save the bleachers and then get rid of everything else in front of it. And so we had stakeholders come in and look at that, and nobody liked that. It was horrible. Said, forget it, none of that. So then we went a little bit farther, and we developed what is now the perimeter deck. We were still quite uncertain that this would be acceptable to the Department of Health as not being classified as a pool. And so it took us a while before we could get to meet with them, where they said they took a look at it and have agreed, yes, this does not have to meet pool rules. So once that happened, that allowed us to now include it as an alternative. With that as an alternative and a relook at all the analysis on right, and the EIS looks at many things, historic, cultural, economic, costs, so fiscal type things, and you know, local input actually how it affects the true physical environment, like marine biology and corals and shoreline and everything. So a whole gamut of things that it looks at. And after we've done the analysis on all of those different categories, what we've realized is the perimeter deck is probably the best of the three options. We've presented that to the mayor and talked to him about it and said, you know, we originally went with the beach. We think that's not the best option anymore. We'd like you to change your proposed action to be the perimeter deck. And he has agreed to that.
Okay. And the big question, he said, is the money part of it?
Certainly. None of these are perfect answers, right? There's passion, it's a passionate issue on two sides. You got your preservationists and you've got your come on a beach, turn it into a beach type opinions. The nice thing I like about my role is I just stay objective about the whole thing and try to look at the data. It'd be nice if we could throw the data in a machine and it would pop out an answer, but it doesn't. So there's still some subjectivity to it. But yes, yeah, so cost is one of the, you know, important aspects of this. What I think a lot of people are misunderstanding, the actual capital costs of the perimeter deck are the least of the three options. Clearly, the no action is the cheapest, but that's not an option. So the perimeter deck is about $3 million less expensive in capital costs than the beach option. And then the turning it into a full pool is much more expensive.
What about the issue of the silt and the sediment at the bottom?
Right.
Because there's concern about the degradation of the environment, not just for the swimmers of the area, but also for the aquarium on the other side.
No, of course, that's a concern that everybody should have. And it's actually a concern for all the options that we go forward with. And so it's being analyzed very closely. And in the end, it's not really a showstopper in a sense that any of the options will have a different result. It's manageable. It's manageable through all kinds of protections that already exist. Once we finish with the environmental impact statement, we still have to go through all kinds of permitting. One of them will be water quality. So whatever we do within the footprint of the project, whether it's turn it into a beach or leave it as a perimeter deck or turn it into a pool, we'll have to make sure we're complying with water quality rules and everything that the permit entails.
Okay. All right. So still a very long process to go.
Oh, unfortunately, yes.
Okay. So when will we see final EIS published?
We're hoping the final EIS is going to happen this summer. Middle to late summer is when we should get the final EIS. And once that happens, we are budgeting to have the design begun almost immediately.
That was Robert Croning, director of the city's design and construction. The EIS deadline for comments, again, is Christmas Eve. Croning says if there are historical, cultural, or safety issues that you believe the report overlooks, send in your testimony. For links to the EIS, check our Facebook page, The Conversation HPR.